banish thee from Salem! Forever.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back! Sisters!
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on your favorite movies. And today, we are talking about Disney Plus, Hocus Pocus 2.
That's right, Andrew. I don't know. We're doing Hocus Pocus 2, the follow-up to the cult classic 1993 film Hocus Pocus. It's straight to Disney Plus, which is exactly where it belongs, in the garbage. No, just kidding. But seriously, I can't believe we're actually doing this film.
We went back and forth between a couple of movies deciding on what we were going to do, but...
We waffled quite a bit, and then we're like, you know what, let's just do Hocus Pocus 2, and let's get right into it. So me, I think we have the same story for this one. Haven't really seen Hocus Pocus 1
no.
before watching. Oh, I did catch most of it. Kind of went into this blind, not a big fan of Hocus Pocus. I actually kind of hate it for some reason, because growing up, my sister was a big fan, and around Halloween time it was always on the TV, and we were always watching. I'm like, what is this trash? I don't want to watch this trash. Growing up as a kid, I'm just like, please get this off the screen. Anything else, put, you know, Michael Myers on, whatever. I don't want to watch Hocus Pocus. This looks dumb. So I had to do my due diligence. So I'm like, all right, I gotta watch it before I watch Hocus Pocus 2. I remembered some of it, so I kind of, you know, I went through it and all, finished it, and I'm like, you know what, it ain't that bad. I was a little too harsh on it. I have told many people I think it's trash, even though I had never fully seen it before. So I felt bad, but it was important for me to do that before going into Hocus Pocus 2. Andrew, is there anyone in your life who had this movie on nonstop as you were growing up?
Nothing like that, but that's the interesting thing about doing a show like this and talking about movies that we are reviewing. We always end up somehow watching a movie that we never thought we would ever come around to. Like, if we never had this show, I'm pretty sure we wouldn't even look twice at this Hocus Pocus stuff. But I knew about it by, like, just, like you just hear it around. It's one of those movies where, like, you've just heard its name quite a bit, but you just don't know what it means or what it's about. I knew, yeah, it was, like, something to do with witches, but I don't know. I was going to start the first one. And then you texted me saying, don't do it. Don't worry about it. I'm like,
well, because you watched the second one. For those of you listening, he watched the second one because that's what we were going to review. And then I'm like, oh, dude, yeah. I don't know. Like, I kind of just watched the first one. Do you want to watch it? And like, I just texted him like, don't do it, man. Just don't.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay, it's all right. You saved me about an hour and a half of my time there. But I don't know. I think in general, it was pretty interesting to just do a little research and hear how much of a following this movie has, but I think we'll get into that much later.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, because when we were talking about what movie to do this week, I was telling you, like, oh, what about Hocus Pocus? And for those of you who don't know, Andrew is the trend guru. He's the one who does all this research. He does all this analysis and analytic statistics. And he's like, all right, this is what we have to do. This is on TikTok this week. Okay, this is the movie we got to do. So I told him about Hocus Pocus, and Andrew doesn't trust me. He thinks I'm a boomer. He doesn't trust my opinion on a lot of this stuff. And then he messages me back. He's like, I just watched Hocus Pocus 2. I'm like, wait, what the hell? When did we decide we're doing this film? He's like, I looked it up. It's trending. It's trending hard. We got to get on the trend.
I saw a few people talking about this. Yeah, like on TikTok and on Twitter. I was like, okay, you know what? It can't be that bad. And at the end of it, when I finished the movie, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was funny. I think so. When I watched this movie, I was trying to relate it to how I felt when I saw Chip and Dale, a movie that was clearly catered to kids. Which, by the way, we did a review on Chip and Dale for any of you who want to check that out. And Chip and Dale was really fun. It was definitely for kids, but also catered to adults. And I was trying to see if I could replicate that feeling with Hocus Pocus 2, which we have to shorten that up during this podcast. But I think it kind of did. Not really like the same effect, same dramatic attention that I had with Chip and Dale, but it still kept me engaged, I would say. What would you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like you said, there were some laugh out loud moments, and sometimes the movie's funny and it's like a chuckle funny. But this one actually, you know, made me laugh a few times. I think it has a lot of heart. I think it has stronger messaging than the first one. The way it ends, obviously full spoilers here if you haven't seen Hocus Pocus 2 yet, but just the way it ends and a nice connection of sisterhood, and there were some good lessons against, you know, making fun of others and all that. So I thought I liked those touches, and I don't think it's the worst thing I've ever seen. I don't think it has any of the charm and originality of the first one, but the reality is Hocus Pocus is not about the human characters. Hocus Pocus is about the three witches. It's about Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy. That's what it's all about. It's one of those rare movies that's family oriented, and the focus of the film is essentially the villains. And those are there's so many quotes that when you watch the first one, even part of the second one, you'll realize like, oh, that's where that's from. Oh, that's what, you know, that's what's from. And I didn't realize that. The first time I was watching until my fiance pointed it out, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. I kind of get why people like it and all that. But it shows like the difference between the first and the second one, because I think the second one lacks a lot of that charm. But the first one, it feels a little bit more creative, a little bit more of the creative juices flying. And I'm going to use that, Andrew, to segue into this little like thing I have, this little theory, and I'm just kind of like, why is Hocus Pocus so popular? Because it is insanely popular. There's so much merch, and there's a whole subreddit dedicated to this film. And every Halloween, usually millennials who also like Harry Potter will put Hocus Pocus on their television screens and watch it. You know who you are. And it's just like, why is this film so popular? So, Andrew, I really sat and I had to think about this.
Okay.
And I really believe the question we have to ask is Hocus Pocus a great film that just went missing because it has such a bad review as a Rotten Tomatoes, like 39%?
Yeah,
or
okay.
Is it a bad film that just got popular because of exposure?
Yeah, it definitely got popular based off the exposure, because I think it got the same attention like The Room, you know, Tommy Wiseau. Like, it's just a movie that maybe is so bad that people just end up loving, because like you mentioned earlier, there's charm, there's wit, there's something relatable for everybody. I think there's a handful of movies out there that are just so bad, but people will defend with their lives. They're like, no, it's actually it's like so bad that it's good kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think with the characters too, I mean, yeah, we have Sarah Jessica Parker, Bette Midler. We have these incredible actresses that also have careers of their own nowadays, like, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker with, you know, Sex and the City, for example. Mm-hmm. And so you see them still doing projects today, and you see them in a movie like that, and you wonder to yourself, like, where, like say you're 26 years old right now, 27 years old, and you're watching Sex and the City on HBO, and you wonder, like, where have I seen Sarah Jessica Parker before? And then you remember to your childhood, like, oh my god, she was the witch in Hocus Pocus that I saw in 1993. So it's like, it's people get that kind of nostalgic feeling that probably makes them like, maybe this movie wasn't so bad after all. So there's definitely some psyche in there, but I think the exposure, especially more recently, that this one was coming out and a bunch of articles were being written talking about, let's revisit the first one, let's look at how it's done over time, I think it definitely does deserve some appreciation that it maybe, I mean, like, for example, like, it's insane how movies like this, Hocus Pocus, is it getting new attention with an older, or the older kids who grew up with it. Like, for example, what I think about so much is Ewan McGregor with Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. Ewan McGregor did an interview where he mentioned that although The Phantom Menace got horrible reviews and it was by critics, he mentioned that he was doing that movie for the fans, for the kids at the time. And nowadays, the kids who grew up with that movie are kind of giving them praise for that. Like, yeah, like, that movie wasn't as bad as the critics say it was.
It's just as bad as it was.
Maybe it is, but like, hearing Ewan McGregor talk about how, like, he didn't do it for the critics, he did it like for the audience, like for like what it was targeted for, kind of reminds me of like how this movie Hocus Pocus was, the first one. It's like, they didn't really do it for the critics, they did it for, you know, the kids, for the people watching.
Yeah, I get that. Real quick point on the Star Wars stuff, though. There's been this kind of like prequel whitewashing going on where folks are like, oh, you know, they're not as... No, they're just as bad as when they first aired. They're really bad movies. Maybe Revenge of the Sith is decent, but Episode 1 and 2 are really bad, and no amount of nostalgia and love for Hayden Christensen and even McGregor is going to change that.
I think Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, is actually a really good movie.
I did say that. I said Revenge of the Sith is pretty good. Okay, but yeah. Not 1 and 2. But you mentioned The Room. But The Room is popular, in my opinion, because it's like bad. But there's legitimately people out there who think Hocus Pocus is a great Halloween film. It's not so much it's so bad it's good. They actually really love this film. They think it's a great film. And I think, as you mentioned, it's really because it was out on VHS. It was constantly being replayed on cable. There's a lot of charm, great costume design. And actually, in addition to all that nostalgia buildup, because it is for sure nostalgia, I will say the first one, it's fairly well-paced. There's a lot of memorable lines for it, as we discussed. But also this, think about Halloween films. It's mostly horror movies. When you think of Halloween, you think of horror movies. Now, how much Halloween content does Disney actually have? Like, I don't know exactly what they own, but it's like Nightmare Before Christmas. I don't know if Halloween Town is Disney.
Haunted Mansion,
but that's a little after, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then there were, I don't know, this is not Disney, but like Charlie Brown. There's like Scooby-Doo. Like, there's not that much Halloween based movies that are family oriented. It's all horror. So I think when it was replaying over and over again on an ABC and ABC Family and all that, like, people just kind of enjoyed watching because, like, hey, it's a Halloween movie that I can watch that's not horror based. It's not gonna scare me. It's not gonna, you know, ruin my sleep for a few nights. It's like a family film, kind of like how Elf is for Christmas these days, although Christmas movies are always, they're always going to be more family oriented. But, you know, in that way, it's just kind of like that traditional film to watch. So I think that's why it's so popular as well. Not just nostalgia, but also because there's just wasn't that much competition for a family oriented Halloween film.
That is true. I was going to bring that up, but yeah, you beat me to it. There's very little Halloween movies in general that are meant for the family. I mean, you can't use like Freddy Krueger or like Halloween or any of those. Like, they're Halloween movies for sure, but those are like horrors. Like, you can't really sit down with your kids and enjoy a movie like that together. So yeah, like, props to Disney for reviving this one, because I think that's what a lot of people are missing nowadays. Like, a Halloween movie people could sit down and enjoy together. Like you mentioned, Elf, perfect example of a Christmas movie that people can finally like sit down together and always enjoy. So I think I'm going to make it a goal of mine that this Halloween, I'm going to sit and watch Hocus Pocus 1, mm-hmm. and I'm going to see if I get that feeling of like, yes, this is what a Halloween family movie should be like. I'm going to try that.
Probably and not.
I think I'll be surprised, because like you mentioned, there's no competition. Like, what else am I supposed to do in an instance like that? So I'll give it a try. I'm not afraid to do that.
That's a good shot. You're not afraid of wasting an hour and a half of your life? No, I'm just kidding. The first one's definitely a little better. Andrew, let's jump in to Hocus Pocus 2. This film is the number one rated premiere, most watched on Disney Plus so far out of all their movies. So it really, we did the trending research really well on that one. Genuinely, the plot follows the same as Hocus Pocus 1. There's a new cast. Instead of it just focusing on one guy and his little sister and his romantic interest, it's three girls. Three girls, and they have this bond of sisterhood. And it was okay. You know, I thought the story, similar to the first one, just doesn't really get moving. It's more about the individual moments and scenes and all that. And just not a lot happens. Where the movie really got me interested was the bit of a small twist where the guy who owns the witch's shop, they were trying to figure out, like, you know, what's up with this guy? Why is he so into, you know, the three witches? And he's like, oh, because, you know, I saw them as a kid. And it was like an interesting way of tying in the sequel without feeling, you know, too redundant or anything like that. But definitely not as dark as the first one. You can just tell it's a little safe. It's a little safe, and the characters just don't I just don't feel as dynamic as I think they could have been. What did you think overall about Hocus Pocus 2? You know, anything stand out to you that you liked?
This was like probably the least cringy movie that we've seen that was like kid related. I don't know. I like when I was watching it for the first time over the weekend. It was the jokes landed like pretty softly. I wouldn't say like it was a perfect 10 out of 10 dismount, but like it wasn't a crash and burn either. I chuckled, I laughed. There's a couple points where I was like, ha, nice one, but I enjoyed it. Seeing it, it made me realize that I don't know. I think Disney's coming around with making kid movies a lot more adult catered, to the point where it's not a bad thing that we can watch all together. I mean, when you first pitched this movie, I thought it was gonna be the dumbest thing ever. I thought it was gonna be so lame, but I enjoyed myself. I had a fun time.
I'm surprised you actually enjoyed it, but I do agree with you there. And that's a great point you made, Andrew, is that most films with like teenagers, there's always a couple lines in there that have like you rolling your eyes into the back of your skull, but like, yeah, it's not that cringeworthy, you know. And I'm sure there's some, you know, people on the internet saying, oh, this movie's woke. It's not woke or anything like that. It's just a bunch of teenagers being teenagers, and I think it's fine. There was a couple things that stood out to me that I just kind of want to talk about. So the witches show up, and they go to, first of all, really, Walgreens? Like, this is like
not a CVS.
Walgreens is like straight to DVD trash. You gotta treat your precious IPs better, Disney. Like, yeah, exactly. Like CVS. I'm like, oh, you know, fucking CVS, guys. Like, that's some fancy ass drugs you're getting over there. But Walgreens, like
Walgreens,
really?
Is one step away from a Rite Aid. Like, they could have done better.
Rite Aid has good ice cream, at least.
yeah.
Walgreens for a while was the only place I could find warheads. It's like they were banned from America for a while because I think they caused too many tongue lacerations. So I had to go to
so
Walgreens.
You mean the candy, right?
Yeah. I had to go to Walgreens for a while to get my warhead fixed. They were just like gone. Now they're back. I guess they reduced the acidity or something. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty funny when the joke first hit in the film. But then I thought about it, like, this shit's not going to age well. This is not going to age well at all. It's going to be one of those things in 20 years. Is Walgreens even going to be in business? If it's not, then maybe it'll age better.
One thing I want to point out about that one scene, which I think was hilarious, before I let you continue, because when they were in that Walgreens and they start licking and slurping like the lotions and all that, yeah, face cream, like they're from what? The 1800s, 1700s? Mm-hmm. Like, If we went back in time and gave like an 1800s pilgrim boy even like a McDonald's Sprite, their head would explode. So like it was just, yeah, funny to see like these witches from that time gobble down face cream from like L'Oreal and just nothing happened to them. Like,
well, I mean, you're right. I mean, literally Coca-Cola used to be like, they had like cocaine in it back in the day. I'm sure like if they had a Sprite, they'd be like, oh, like what is this, like, like this magic. And even I was thinking about that exact same thing, because there's a scene with like an Amazon Alexa or like a Siri, and it talks to them. I'm like, dude, if this was like 500 years ago, people would be like, oh my goodness, you use magic and you trapped a human. They would actually believe that you trapped a human, yeah, in there. It's actually insane. We talk about those changing technologies. So in the original film, I'm pretty sure, I know it came out in 1993, and I think it's set in 1993. I could be wrong about that. But did we not have sliding doors in 1993? Because the witches, I guess you could say they didn't find one in the first movie, but they're acting like it's some contraption they've never seen before. I'm like, wait a second. Did that not exist, like an automatic sliding door in 1993? Am I tripping or what?
No, so I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know, because all I can think about is in the Toy Story 2 movie that was released in 1999, and there's that scene where like Buzz and the characters are trying to open the sliding door to the toy store. Sliding doors were a thing in 99, so I wonder if they, yeah, were a thing a few years before that.
It was weird. I guess it was more of like, they didn't actually see one in the first movie. But it just felt like a little weird. I was like, wait, didn't they already come back in 1993? anyway, I just wanted to make a little comment on that. There was one line in this film that I really loved, and it was when the three witches broke out into a dance, right when they first appeared under the moonlight. They kind of did a little song.
Oh, yeah.
And all that. And what did one of the lead cast, Izzy, played by Belissa Escobedo, shows up, and it was her line, it was such a callback to the first one. She's like, her friend asked her, like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know, but I can't stop watching them. And I think that was totally a breaking down the fourth wall thing and telling the audience, like, I don't know why you guys keep watching Hocus Pocus, the movie. I don't know why, but you're just obsessed with it. You just can't stop. That was totally tongue-in-cheek by the writers. That had to have been intentional.
I think you're looking too much into it. I think that was just a regular line.
I don't know. She's like, I don't know. I can't stop watching. Like, that's, yeah, exactly. They don't. The writers also don't know why you keep watching the first one.
But the first one wasn't a musical at all, wasn't it? Like, the whole, like, song.
There was
dance.
A song in there. There was a song. There was?
Oh, okay.
Exactly like the one in the second one. It's like it was used to, like, brainwash and hypnotize the town into, I don't know, doing something.
The one thing that I didn't like that I thought was kind of cringy was the final song with the I'm going to get you, whatever. Like, I'm going to find you when they're doing the whole talent show. Like, oh, my God, that was, like, so
Oh, the one with the town. They're trying to
wait, was get this the mayor.
In the climax?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was so on the nose, I didn't like it. It felt like, come on, like, you're forcing it. Stop. I didn't like it.
Well, that's the thing. They were pretty much trying to match the nostalgia from the first one and just be like, you know, hey-o, like, we're going to do a song. Song and dance. Right over again. What'd you think about Mother Witch, played by Hannah Waddingham?
It was cool seeing another alumni from Ted Lasso pop up somewhere else because, I mean, as people know, Ted Lasso's coming out with its final season soon. So, you know, RIP to that. But, yeah, seeing Hannah Waddingham in it was pretty interesting. I liked it. Was that something that shocked you?
Yeah, I was surprised. Well, I mean, no, I wish I could say I was surprised. I saw it. This is what happens when you have a movie podcast. You're in more with the news, and there's just spoilers everywhere. You're going to see everything everywhere because she's not even in, like, the original cast list. But once the movie premiered, you saw it. But, yeah, it was cool to see her, and you definitely could tell from the ending scene because there's, like, an end credits where her raven or whatever she was flying towards the kids that there's probably going to be a sequel with more Hannah Waddingham. Probably a prequel with her if this gets enough views and talking about how the origin story of the witches, Hocus Pocus Origins and Hocus Pocus 3 and Hocus Pocus Halloween Spooktacular, which is an actual thing that already released, all coming out. So yeah, the Hocus Pocus extended universe coming to you soon on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I know there was like some talk saying that, oh, now we have three benevolent witches, the Izzy, Becca, and Cassie, is like maybe they're the future of the franchise. Like, are they really gonna try to continue this? Because like, I feel like they should stop at two movies and that should be hit.
Not look, when the Disney Plus numbers came out and it was number one, it's not a chance. Like, maybe they'll phase out the original three because they're just a little older now, but You can tell at the end they were definitely teasing a sequel if there's enough interest. But I actually want to talk to you about the witches. So the first one comes out and they hang the witches in this movie. Like, they don't show their heads, but they show their feet like dangling. I'm like, oh, holy crap, this is dark for a Disney film. That happens. The witches actually kill a kid in that movie. They like suck her soul out. She dies and she doesn't even come back. She's just dead. And it's, you know, in the movie the witches are bad. The witches are the bad people, and it was kind of cool to see. And in the end, they defeat the witches, and the witches go bye bye again. Now, I would actually say that they kind of, you know, witches nowadays, I think with Harry Potter and, you know, other, you know, sort of symbols are kind of viewed in a better light, especially at, you know, once a lot of the truth behind Salem has been, you know, unveiled and all that. So I think that's why in this film they wanted to do the whole like, hey, in Hocus Pocus 1 the witches are just evil bad people, but in Hocus Pocus 2 we're going to show that witches can be good people too. So anyway, I just found it interesting that the whole like, hey, witches aren't bad, witches can also be good kind of thing they're trying to do at the end by showing the main character had a witch's power. And like Hannah Waddingham's character said, like, oh, you guys need to have your own covenant. So I guess the three of them are going to go off and be good witches. But that's one thing that, not annoying, but I kind of like that the first one, it was, you know, the three lovable witches were still, like, bad irredeemable characters in a way. They were not good.
I think the era of like witches in movies and TV is over. I feel like it had its peak in the 90s, early 2000s, like with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And I feel like this movie, sure, it's like somewhat, it's like, you know, popular, good numbers, but I think that time is coming to a close. It's almost like when, like, The Walking Dead came out, the early season, like 1 through 6, like, zombies were a big thing. We had, like, zombie romance movies. We had iZombie on, like, CW. Mm-hmm. We had all these different shows, and then, like, boom, it fell flat. Like, it was exhausted immediately. And I think we've already exhausted, like, the witch era. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, I take that all back. I take that all back, because what do we have right now? Scarlet Witch from, you know, Marvel, and then we have now the Disney Plus show Agatha, the Coven of Chaos. So
what
you, I don't
what,
know.
So what you just said was a whole lot of nothing, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I take it all back. I take it all back.
You're right about zombies, though, for sure. Zombies are totally overplayed in everything. That's why I'm so curious how The Last of Us is going to do, because I think people are just sick and tired of zombies.
Well, those aren't really zombies, right? Like, they're more like just infected people.
It is. I mean, like, I'm a Last of Us, you know, mega fan, so I think it'll still be fine. But you're right, it's not like oh, you know, it's more like,
yeah, like the clickers. Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, you're right, I take it all back. Scarlet Witch, Agatha from Marvel, they're gonna bring back witches, the whole are back, age baby. Of witches, yeah, they are.
One thing I really noticed about this film, and I kind of liked it, is in the first one, so there's actually a really funny scene where the main character and his little sister, like, he gets bullied by like these guys from school while they're out trick-or-treating. And then they take his candy, they give him the candy, and then she's like, why didn't you, like, stand up to them, and then, like, or fight them back? He's like, are you kidding? Like, they would have killed me. And then she's like, yeah, at least you die like a man. And then this girl's like 8 years old, like, whoa.
She knows the concept of death.
she just went right at her older brother. But it was cool, because later in the film, the bullies are captured, and he just kind of leaves them to be. And there's not really much of a discussion about it. It's more like, you know, stand up to your bullies. If there's any kind of lesson to be taken away, like, that would kind of be it, although he doesn't really see them at the end. But in this film, there's a really interesting scene that I really like. And it's with the main characters and the mayor's daughter and her boyfriend, the football guy. And they're just kind of having a heart-to-heart about, you know, the girl's kind of like, she's pulling away from their friends, that she's getting more popular and not into their stuff. And then the main character, I forget her name, but she tells the football guy, like, dude, like, you're just, like, you're kind of a douche. Like, you're just a mean guy. You know, you make fun of people for being different. What was the line? She's like, "All you know, you shouldn't just make fun of people for being different." And I thought it was so great to have that included in this film, because it shows the changing of the eras. 1993, it's like, nah, you know, F your boys. You just got to stand up to them. And here it's like, or like, you know, fight back or whatever. And here they're just telling him, like, you can still fight back if you have to, but, you know, just telling this guy straight up, like, dude, you're just mean for no reason. You make fun of people for no reason. And it was nice to see that.
Yeah, I like how they started introducing, like, life lessons in this movie. I we need more of that. We need more of these movies to provide sort of a message at the end of it all, instead of just like, oh, witches are bad, so, you know, glad we got rid of them. Like, no, that kid, he was like, not even like a secondary character. He was just like the last one on the call sheet. But he still had like a better character arc than most of the people in the movie. Like, he went from being like, yeah, that bully that just hated her, to just like redeeming himself of like, oh my god, I have so many people to apologize to. Like, that's good. We like to see growth. That is maturity. That is healthy. We need more of that. I think there's something that we need to address when it comes to these sort of movies. So we have been introduced slowly in media, like, sort of mysticism, magic, all these sort of concepts, and I think we need one solid director or one solid story to kind of make some kind of mystical magic horror flick. I think it could be done extremely well if like the right minds are put to it. So, do you think, Santi, that Hocus Pocus in general, like, take the concept of it, it can be adapted into a well-made horror movie?
Well, they'll never do it, even though Disney has 21st Century Fox. But I think Hocus Pocus would be a great horror movie. Like, imagine a film where these witches are accidentally resurrected, and they're just going around slaughtering, like, kids the whole film, which is, I think, their aim from the first one. It would be absolutely horrifying to see. And you just get the creepiest witches, and it's like a slasher film, except they can fly, they can shoot magic, and yeah. You got these main characters trying to, like, stop them and get the book, and, you know, throw them back into time and stuff. Like, it could work incredibly well. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some sort of, you know, witches versus kids movie coming out in the next few years, because I think it's prime for a box office breakout.
I think so too, because I feel like when you address like witches and, like, per se in a movie, how Hocus Pocus showed it, like salt is like a weakness of them. I love how, like, they did a circle around the witches, kind of like how in SpongeBob when they did an oval for the sea bear, like that keeps them out. So then the salt will keep out the witches. Like there are things like that you can implement, sort of like how, what was it, like silver for vampires, or like wooden stakes for vampires, and you got other things for other, whatever. I feel like you can do so much with, like, the right thing. I feel like horror, when it comes to horror movies in general, I think horror genre is the most difficult movie to make. I feel like there's so much on the line when it comes to making a horror flick. So what would you be your concept?
I think it would just be really simple. Like, some kids, you know, mess around in the woods, kind of like Blair Witch Project, but instead they just they activate something, the witches come, they take him out, maybe one of the kids survives, he goes back, the townsfolk don't believe him, and then these witches are just going around, and they brainwash the whole town, and it kind of basically similar to, like, Hocus Pocus 1, except just pure horror.
Yeah, I think what we need to, like, what it could focus on is how you mentioned, like, there's a witch trying to collect souls, and it could be from anybody, and, like, just, yeah, make it in some, like, remote area in Ohio where things don't matter anyways. But I feel like there's potential there if the right director wants to hop on that. As all of you have known, that in every podcast that we've done, we love to introduce to you some new information that you may not know, or if you do, then a little refresher. So Santi has come prepared with some fun facts about this movie, and who knows, maybe he has some about the original. So Santi,
well, I'm pretty much going all original, Andrew, because there's a lot of interesting ones out there that people just might not know of. But let's open up with this one. If you're a fan of Hocus Pocus, this is not an advertisement, by the way, but you can visit or stay at the Hocus Pocus Cottage from the Sanderson sisters on Airbnb. And you can go there. There's a cauldron, a spell book, black flame candle, and all that. I don't know how much it costs, but this is totally, like, new. It just pretty much happened. Actually, it says $31 for 2-person reservation. That sounds kind of cheap and weird. Maybe do it, maybe don't. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't do it. Would you do it?
No, I wouldn't.
Really?
Do that.
I wouldn't do it. Yeah. But on to the actual fun facts. I got some interesting ones here. First one, maybe some of you heard of, maybe some of you haven't. Max from the original film was originally, could have been played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio actually said in 2014 that he was paid a ton of money to pay the leading man, Max Dennison, but he turned down the part because he wanted to give it a shot for What's Eating Gilbert Grape. That obviously worked out for him well, but I can imagine Hocus Pocus would be even more of a behemoth if they had Leonardo DiCaprio playing in it.
It's crazy that Leo has picked out the perfect movie throughout his entire career. I feel like Hocus Pocus on his IMDb page would be such, like, an out of left field type of thing. So, hey, he did do the right thing, in my opinion.
It would be absolutely nuts. I think so. Another one of these cool fun facts is the producer and co-writer David Kirschner is actually the person who inspired Hocus Pocus. It was a bedtime story that he would tell his kids. He's a big fan of Halloween in his family, and he thought about the story, and then he just pitched it to Walt Disney, and that was that. It took them 9 years to make it, and, you know, look what it is now.
Ooh, okay, I'm liking this. I'm liking this knowledge that we're bringing
you
in,
like,
here.
This one?
So what else do you got for
us? How about
us?
This? The film was actually almost called Halloween House and not Hocus Pocus. And in addition to that, the first draft of the film was a lot darker and maybe more in line with the horror film we were talking. But what do you think? You think they did the right? You think Halloween House would be as popular as Hocus Pocus, if that's what it was called.
Man, that's a good point. I think Hocus Pocus is, I think it rolls off the tongue a lot more, and it fits the theme, so I like it. I like how it is now.
Yeah, I think so, too. It just goes off the tongue better. Hocus Pocus. I think it just sounds really good.
Oh, yeah.
A couple last ones to wrap it up. For those of you into the more filmmaking details, in Hocus Pocus 1 and 2, each witch has their own distinct broomstick choreography, and, you know, some of them are more aggressive, the other one are just a little bit more, you know, wavy, like a bird and all that, more cautious. And it's interesting that sometimes with these films, like, we watch, like, oh, you know, that movie sucked, or that movie was, you know, like, oh, it's just a kid's movie. But you don't realize there's so much effort that goes on behind the scenes to make these things as, you know, accurate. I mean, witches aren't real in terms of flying. So not accurate, but you know what I mean. Just make it as detailed and lifelike as possible. And for our last fun fact, as we mentioned, this is obviously a cult classic of a film. It did flop when it first came out at the box office, and that was because not just it was a bad movie necessarily, even though it has a low score on Rotten Tomatoes, but this was a Halloween movie, and they released it on July 16th. I mean, what were they thinking? Did they put it out there to die? I think they really did put it out there to die. I mean, who in their right mind would go see a Halloween movie in July, midsummer? I don't. Sometimes I wonder, like, how do these executives have jobs? It's absolutely mind blowing.
Funny, right? Because when people like you and I, we watch these movies, we kind of think to ourselves, we could have done that better. Like, we could have promoted it better, or we could have found a better date for it. So, yeah, I don't know what they think. Are they like, you know, they gotta probably be looking out for, like, some quarterly reports, you know, maybe, you think?
So, quarterly reports, sometimes a movie's like, you know what, this movie just ain't it, let's just put it out to die. Maybe it'll do well, maybe it won't. I mean, obviously with Hocus Pocus, it worked on the long term, but a lot of time it's just about meeting shareholder expectations. If the movie gets pushed back, maybe the stock price will drop too much, more than it would if it releases and bombs. A lot of times it just comes down to that. A lot of times they genuinely think, like, hey, kids are out for summer, maybe they're gonna go see a kids oriented movie called Hocus Pocus, even if it is about Halloween. It could be anything. And honestly, who knows, it could have been the fact that Disney banked, like, hey, we'll release it in July, maybe we'll make some money, and then we'll have it replaying all through summer and fall, and, you know, getting ready for Halloween. But lucky for them, it worked out.
Do you think that they did the same thing kind of this time around, where, like, they said, this movie's going to bomb in theaters, so just put it on Disney Plus?
I think it's more they want people to watch it, and more folks are going to watch it on Disney Plus than they would in theaters. I think it still make like 80 to 100 million worldwide, probably make its budget back and a little bit more. But the thing is, like, a lot of people have Disney Plus, so they're gonna watch Hocus Pocus when it comes out, and they release it a month before. I thought about, why not just release it the weekend of Halloween or something like that? Well, this is why I think they released it a month before, because they want folks to just watch it now, get a little affiliated with it, and then the week of Halloween they're gonna end up watching Hocus Pocus 1 and 2 anyway. So why not just give them 1 month to get into, like, the new characters, maybe some new merchandise that they can buy before Halloween, you know, a little money. Never is bad for the mouse at Disney. So I think it's all about the money, Andrew, and believe it or not, there's a lot of merch with this sort of film. So the more eyes and viewers it gets, the more merch they might sell.
Who knows if we're going to see a lot of costumes this Halloween of either Jeffrey Dahmer or Hocus Pocus witches. We're going to see.
We'll keep our eye out. I think I might go as, I'm not sure yet. What about you?
I have no idea. There are very few characters out there that I can replicate. What am I going to be? Coco from Disney's movie? Like, I have very little representation out there.
You might look good. You might look good. You might do a good Coco.
I'll just get a good bowl cut going, and that'll be it. But okay. But okay, with all that put together, with all of you knowing what that means, Sanzi, dun, 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 dun. With Hocus Pocus 2 finally under our belt, man, we've had such obscure movies under our skin now that we've seen throughout this whole podcast journey. It's insane.
The diversity is great. I like, you know, sometimes it's not all about seeing 10 out of 10, you know, have to watch it every day sort of movies. You got to see bad movies. You got to see, you know, average movies. You got to see great movies. You got to see them all. You have to see them all.
Exactly. And that's how I feel. Like, to be well versed, you got to just know a little bit of everything. So what do you give Hocus Pocus 2.
Andrew, I give Hocus Pocus 2 2.5 out of 5. I think it's more of a strong 2.5. I don't think it's particularly well inspired. Maybe relies a bit too much on nostalgia, but I think there's some great lessons to be taken away from the film. A lot of the jokes land, and it's just a little too long, I think. I think it's like 15 minutes longer than the first one. It just doesn't really need to be. There's some side quest stuff that didn't really need to be there. But overall, I enjoyed it. I don't regret watching it. And I think, like most folks, they're never going to watch Hocus Pocus 2 as part of a Halloween tradition moving forward. They're always going to revert back to Hocus Pocus 1. That's going to be the one that takes over. And Hocus Pocus 2 had its day in the sun. It'll be relevant for the next few weeks, and I think people will just forget about it and go right back to the original. So 2.5 out of 5 for me. Andrew, what's your score?
I got to agree. A solid 2.5 out of 5 for me. I had a good time. It was funny. I chuckled. I exhaled hard out of my nose. It didn't make me feel too cringe, or it didn't make me feel like I was babied throughout the entire thing. I had a great time, and I feel like if there's nothing Halloween worthy to watch that isn't going to put me in a scare, this is not a bad option to suggest to anyone. So if you have the time and you want to get into your childhood feelings all over again, definitely give Hocus Pocus 2 a watch. It's not the worst thing that you'll ever see, so enjoy
it. It's definitely not. Yeah, it's not that bad. I would even say it's not even a bad film. It's just decent. It's just decent but forgettable.
So thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast. We really do appreciate all of you coming back and listening to what we got to say, especially about such a random, obscure movie like Hocus Pocus 2. Nah. But we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you learned something new. I know Santi always comes in with the most interesting facts. So if you have any issue with this, talk to him, because he's the one who suggested we watch this movie.
That's bullshit. Thank you. Listen. I said Hocus Pocus 2 might be something that people are interested in, and Andrew like went AWOL for like 3 days, and he's like, I just watched it, man. So
I was on vacation, and I wanted to do Blonde. That was my thing. I will always I should have done Blonde. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, we had a good time at the end of it all, so we loved it. Hopefully you did too. But we'll see you all in the next episode.
That's right. We'll see you then.